of Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Ask Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin. Practicing attorney, the law office is open. Hey, if you have a legal question, here to help you. Help you in any way I possibly can. All you have to do is call our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Your question can be about just any area of law, any problem you have. It doesn't even have to be a legal question. If you're in trouble somehow and need some help or direction, if I can help you, I'd be glad to do so. If you have a legal question, I've been hosting this show for 34 years and running, and glad to be here and glad to be have the opportunity to try to help you. You have a toll-free number. Your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, personal injury. Can be just about any area of law that you have a question on. Name change can be about lawsuits, personal injury. 877-943-9673. So I had an interesting one of my experiences yesterday. Was I was scheduled to go to a nursing home in Polk County and had papers all prepared for one of my clients to sign. I get a phone call as I'm about to leave my office in Polk County, or one of my offices in Polk County, to that the lady had been transferred to a local hospital for a blood transfusion. So they asked me if I could go to the hospital to meet with her to get these papers signed, as opposed to driving over to the nursing home. So I said, sure. The hospital is actually very close to my office, and that was going to actually work out better. So when I get there, I find out she's in the emergency room. Now, I've been to many hospitals and many nursing homes to have people sign documents. That's not a problem. Never been into an emergency room for people to sign documents. So this was a brand new experience. And I found out that that was not going to, it was very difficult because first of all, hospital staff, nursing home staff, they won't let their employees witness documents. They're prohibited. They have rules. You know, we're employees, we can't be witnesses to documents. So generally what I do when I go into a hospital or nursing home, I find visitors. And then the visitors become my witnesses, and generally that's not a problem. Well, I found out it's more of a problem in an emergency room yesterday. The hospital staff would not let me talk to visitors. I mean, I had one all lined up. It was a young man sitting next to his wife. Not a very serious injury, it didn't look like. I mean, she was just waiting for some treatment. She was walking around a little bit. So he had volunteers. I approached another one and I got stopped dead in my tracks. Don't talk to visitors. You're in an emergency room. We can't have you walking around soliciting people to sign documents. I said, okay. So wound up talking. I said, I need to talk to your risk manager. Now that always gets their attention in the hospital. So risk manager came out. I told her the situation. I said, you know, I'm here. I was called. I've got papers for this lady to sign. They're important that she signs them now. And I need witnesses. And, you know, I don't want you to call security on me, but I don't think you can deprive me of talking to people I run into as visitors here. So anyway, she started to cooperate, and she actually became a witness and found somebody in the hospital to be a witness. It's just interesting things you run into. And I left there and had to go over to the courthouse to talk to a judge who had requested me to come over to do a status hearing on trying to close a case, which we successfully got done. So I got two things done yesterday along those natures. Let's go to Maureen calling from Jacksonville.
Hello.
Hey, Maureen, how are you?
Pretty good. I have a question. I was in a bicycle accident a couple of years ago, and it did some spinal damage in my neck, and I can't lift over 5 pounds. And I brought that note to my employer, and they were fine with it, and I didn't have to do that much lifting in my job anyway. Well, recently, the other people I work with have complained about, you know, doing lifting for me occasionally. And so I wouldn't be that way with them, because when it first happened to me, I didn't realize I couldn't lift, and I went on lifting for a long period of time, and I was finally told by physical therapists, a couple of them, that that was the issue, so I stopped, and that was just last September when I brought the note in. And so recently, my boss put me in a room, our break room, and he had me lift all morning long. And so,
lift more than 5 pounds?
Yes, of various, you know, degrees of weight. And so anyway, I did what he said, and then he called me in a room and redid my job description. And so another person was there, and so I said, but please don't put the lifting in there any longer because it hurts me. And so he said he wouldn't. Well, the next day he had me lift for 2.5 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon. And so then the next morning, about 2 hours. So I had vacation time in for that week, a couple of days. So I went to physical therapy a couple of times and got straightened out. And then I got a new doctor's note, and I gave it to him. And about 2.5 weeks later, I was terminated.
Okay. So you want to know if you have a legal right to stay there?
Yes.
What was the reason for the termination?
They said that they couldn't go on keeping me, and they accommodated me for as long as they could. And if I were going to stay, they were going to have another person walk around after me and do the lifting for me. Mm-hmm. And my job doesn't require that much lifting. And when I was lifting that whole week, I had worked there for 7 years, and they'd never asked me to do that before.
Yeah. All right, so you do not have an employment contract with the company, right? Nothing
no.
in writing?
No.
And do you feel like you were discriminated against in any way, religion, any reasons for that they would discriminate against you other than not being able to lift?
Age.
All right, so you think you have an age discrimination case possibly?
Along with the lifting thing, yes.
All right, so what you need to do is you need to find an employment attorney and lay out the facts of why you consider age discrimination to be a matter in this case, along with the lifting. But age discrimination would be the most important factor if an attorney were to take a case like this.
Okay, so how do I go about doing that?
All right, why don't you call me off the air? I'll give the toll-free number out, and then I can discuss with you a few ways that you can find an employment attorney.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So if you'd like to contact our office, it's 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. Let's go to Blake in Jacksonville.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Blake, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for the good job that you do, sir. I've talked to you before about several items. A Florida lemon law issue. First of all, let me tell you about the car. It's a 2016 Volkswagen Jetta. I have a 3-year lease.
Did you buy it brand new?
I leased it brand new? Yes.
Okay.
Leased it brand new, 3-year lease, back in October 2015. It comes due October of this year. The lease mileage is 36,000 miles, and I just turned 34 on it.
Okay.
Now, this is a situation that's happened intermittently during my ownership. I've had it in at least 2 times for this situation, and that is the backup camera. And it's a known situation with the car. I took it in. I just picked up the car. They had it for 2 weeks and 4 days, saying they could not replicate it. However, I provided them an image of the situation, and so they've just given it back to me with nothing done on the car. So, where do I go from here?
Well, do you have the lemon law manual that comes with the car? Basically,
I should have it. If I don't, I can get it online.
Go online and get the instructions. I mean, there are certain levels you have to go back so many times and make so many attempts to fix it. They're unable to fix it, yeah. But your lease is up in a couple of months.
Right.
So you're just going to turn the car in?
Well, I actually used to sell Volkswagens at this particular dealership. And back when I sold Volkswagens, a car very much like this you could get. They stopped making a car with this combination of transmission and engine. And so in leasing this vehicle, which I never really liked to lease to begin with, my intention was to buy it out. So I'm sitting here at the end of the lease. My intention was to buy the lease out, but I've got this warranty issue.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to, if the lease runs out and you don't have it resolved and you haven't, if you're going to exercise your lemon law rights, so you maneuver to return the car.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't really want to return the car. You want to keep the car and buy it.
Yes, correct.
And so then you want to force them to get you the new part, basically.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's...
So how would I do that?
I would go to the dealership and tell them, you know, you failed to fix the car. You probably could buy the part. Hey, listen, you know, I had a very similar problem. And what I did was my GPS camera in the front of my car went out.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a quote from the dealer on what it would cost to replace it. And I said, well, that's way too much. I'm just going to not fix it. Then I was watching a commercial, and actually in Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago, and it was called Rock Auto, R-O-C-K-A-U-T-O.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to play around on that website, and I found my part for about half the price of what the dealer was going to do, and I have a mechanic friend that's going to install it. And if you go on, why don't you search for the part yourself? I mean, I found the part myself, went back and got the thing fixed for about half the price.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I don't know what kind of car you've got, but when I've done research on this particular issue, it's an issue which has plagued this vehicle. It's plagued the electronic system that Volkswagen uses. So it's hard to figure out what the problem is. And there were references to somebody spending $10,000 in parts through warranty work to get this thing done.
Well, make them fix it during the warranty period. You got 3 months left or so. Make them fix it.
Okay. Oh, actually, I've got 2,000 miles left.
Yeah, you've got 2,000 miles left, and you've been there a couple of times, and exercise your right, and then just negotiate with them.
Okay. If it came down to using a lawyer, would you be available for that?
Probably not me personally, but I can help you find an attorney.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go. Let's give out the number. You have an 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. 943-9673. Let's go to Sandra in Tampa.
Yes, I have a question. In a house probate, does the court require a list of the contents of the house and their value?
All right. The court requires an inventory of the assets. You don't usually have to itemize every knife, fork, and spoon in the house, though. And a lot of times what you can report depends upon the beneficiaries. And beneficiaries can waive their right to a full accounting. So every case is a little bit different. Did that give you a... How many beneficiaries are there?
Just two.
Two?
Just two.
And are y'all compatible?
Yes.
And one's not going to make unreasonable demands on the other about the inventory of the household items?
No, I don't think
that
so.
The right can be waived, and I think the answer would be you can proceed along happily and quickly without having the court being concerned about the inventory of the household items.
And do you have to put an exorbitant value on the items? It's really not, they're not really all that good.
No, a lot of times we'll just say estimate $500 worth of household items without an inventory.
Oh, very good. And what about a car? The car was put in, transferred the title into my name. Will they require, the court require to know the value of it?
Not if it's no longer, was it transferred to your name during the probate process, or did you just go to DMV?
No, before.
Before? No.
Yeah,
well, no, that's,
weeks after the decedent.
Well, that's not a probate asset then. It's already been transferred.
Okay, and in the steps of a probate, is this the last part of it?
All right, so is it a single-family home or manufactured home?
Yeah. No, it's a single-family home.
And the person that died had a will?
No, no will.
No will. And no spouse?
No.
Spouse was deceased and they have two children?
Yes.
All right, do you have an attorney help you with this? Because what you have to do is to file a petition without the will to probate the house. Are there any other financial assets that need to be probated?
No, nothing. I thought it was just the house, and someone told me they may require to know what the content, the value of the contents.
Yeah, but you're going to most likely going to need an attorney to file a petition for the probate court.
Oh, okay.
And there's a death certificate, and there's a whole stack of papers that have to be filed. You have to, it depends on somewhat of the value of the house. There is a way to do a petition to determine its homestead. Were there any creditors to deal with?
No, sir.
Yeah, most likely going to need to help. And you could try it yourself, but I tell you, many people come in and try it themselves, and they really kind of mess it up, and then have to turn it over to an attorney. And it takes more time and effort to untangle what was started than it would be if you just hired an attorney to start with.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. And if you have a legal question, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. One of the reason I started the show telling you I was in a probate court room yesterday talking to a judge, and basically the beneficiaries on this particular case, one of them had been very difficult to deal with in the estate, and they were seeking a different result on a case, so it wasn't a standard just divide everything equally, and everybody had waived their rights off on this particular piece of property, so it became kind of messy, and one of the beneficiaries objected. So they filed an objection to the proposed distribution plan. So the thing was, you can do that. If you're in an estate, you can file an objection. There's a rule, though, after you have 35 days, I think, to file the objection after you receive the petition to discharge the estate. But then after you file the objection, you have 90 days to set a hearing to discuss your objection. And if you fail to set the hearing, then your objection is abandoned, and then you go ahead and proceed with closing out the estate. So yesterday's my appearance there in the court was to explain all that to the judge and simply get him to sign the petition for the discharge of the estate, which is what we did. So I walked out with a very happy client that was there, that the matter was finally now over. I'll tell you, dealing with estates can be stressful for people, and particularly if the clients don't agree or the beneficiaries don't agree. And Mark Twain said, you never know a person to share an inheritance with them, and I experience that every week, sometimes several times a week, just seeing that little Mark Twain quote in action. People have entitlement issues. They don't agree with what the will says. They have a whole host of reasons why they're going to be very difficult to deal with after the loss of a parent, which might just be an anger issue about that, but it explodes into other things against other family members. I don't know. It's very, very interesting how all that works sometimes. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open, and we're a little bit more than a third of the way through the show. If you have a legal question and I can help you in any way, all you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. By the way, you're listening and maybe watching several ways that you can do that on this show on Saturday morning. We're broadcasting today from Salem in Tampa, Salem Communications in Tampa, host of 570, 910, 860. Several other stations, so those are the three carrying the show here in Tampa. You might be listening on 90.3 FM out of Haines City, Florida. Also in Jacksonville, our first two calls were from Jacksonville on AM 600 on your dial in Jacksonville. Also Sun City Center Community Radio, FM station, community FM station there. Also we have a station in Crystal River. We have you could be listening in Trinity. Multiple stations all over the state of Florida carry the radio program. Also on WeBeam TV is the video portion, and also Facebook Live. So if you wanted to watch the show, you could go to WeBeamTV.com, and you could watch. You could see my very bright shirt that I'm wearing today on WeBeam TV. All right, let's go to Tom in Sun City Center. Hey, Tom.
Good morning.
Morning.
We have a small HOA in Sun City Center, and we have discovered a problem with the sewer lines of some of our homes. Our licensed plumber has informed us that those sewer lines are leaking out near the street and that those leaks are on the not on HOA land, but on land owned by Hillsborough County. He feels that the county is responsible for the repairs, but when we contacted the county, they denied any responsibility in this. So the question is, are we responsible, or is the county responsible for the leaks in those sewer lines?
Well, who did you talk to at the county?
I'm not sure.
Did you talk to a city commissioner?
Not to a city commissioner.
A county commissioner?
Probably not. Probably just some clerk.
Yeah, well, I would go to probably go to the county commissioner, the one that represents Sun City Center, and maybe request a meeting and go over the circumstances there and see how far you get with that.
All right.
And if you had something in writing from the plumber?
We have it. We have photographs, and we can get it in writing.
Get something in writing to show the evidence this is a harmful thing to the community.
Yeah, he ran a video machine down or tube down the pipe, so we have the video proof of it, and we can get him to write something, I think.
Yeah, if the county says they're not responsible, get something in writing from the county commissioner.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
All right, Tom.
See you.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law, and I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. You have a toll-free number you can call the show. You can call 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to May in Tampa. Hey, May.
Good morning. I have a question for you. My son passed away in March. He didn't have a will, and he left most of his things and went to the children. There is a home that we have. I've been trying to get with my grandson to say, what are we going to do with it? Because the money they got, they all took it and went both ways. You know, they're not interested in the house. Well, I know there is bills to be paid, and my son broke his neck some years ago, and I took, you know, money from my household to take care of him. I tried to explain that to my grandson. He's not budging. I need to find out if there's any way, do I have any rights to try to get my assets back, or do I just let it go? Because property is just going to no, not one. My son went to the University of Tampa, so he wasn't no just every day. He worked hard, you know, for what he had. The kids just don't care. And it's really, really getting me sick.
Is there equity in the house?
I'm sure it is. I need to know how, you know, I'm just dumbfounded with it.
Well, let me ask you this. Was there a will?
No.
All right. So and the children are all over 18?
Yes.
How many children are there?
The son has two children.
All right. Would they sign something to consent to you being appointed the personal representative of the estate?
No. The son, I talked to him already. He said, no, I went down and put it in my name and it's staying there.
Wait, he put what, the house in the name?
In his name. Him and his dad had the same name. So he said, I went down and took care, put all my dad's stuff in my name. And I'm saying, well, Rick, you know, there's things we need to take care of. He's not budging.
Wait a minute, I don't understand how he did that. He couldn't have put the house just in his name if there were two children. Because the children, without a will, the house would have been through a probate process, would have gone equally to the two children.
Well, I checked to see was it in probate, and he said no, you know, it hasn't gone there yet. And I'm saying, do I have to put it in probate, or?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Would they consent to you being appointed the personal representative?
No.
Neither one of them?
Maybe the girl, but not the boy. And he's the oldest, so she's going to side with him. And
do you have any evidence that you are a creditor of the estate?
Well, all I have is my checks and everything that I had going to his place, and I had an attorney to put him in care because I have a disabled son, you know, to oversee him. But after he passed, now I'm just in limbo. You know, I don't know what to do.
Well, I think as a possible creditor, you have a chance of opening the probate estate.
Okay.
However, though, the home, if the only asset in the probate would be the home, and that's a homestead, that's going to pass free to his two children without a claim that you can recoup any money for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you'd have to have, for you to benefit, you'd have to find some assets outside of the home, like a checking, savings, money market, stock, or bonds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I closed the account. I won't call the name of the bank, but they're in crisis right now. My accounts are closed, but I found a check what I made out to him for X amount of dollars, and my all my checks and everything went to him in care of him. So. Mm-hmm. He kind of was the overseer of me and my son. So now that he's gone, you know, we're just here.
Yeah, I think you need to sit down with an attorney and see what the cost would be and how you could proceed with trying to open the estate and what your cost would be, and then have a cost analysis of whether it would be worth your while to even do that.
Okay.
All right.
Now, do you have an office here in Tampa?
Yes, I have an office. I don't go to the office in downtown Tampa. We do have an office there. You could come to Largo, or you could go to Sun City Center if you wanted to see me.
Okay.
A lot of people come all the way from Trinity, Tampa, whatever, to my office in Largo. We usually can, if you make the trip to Largo, we can usually get whatever you need done in one visit.
Okay. Oh, I thank you so much. You've enlightened me, because they are my grandkids, and I wasn't a part of their life growing up, so they hold that against me. That was the grandparents' problem,
right.
You know. So I don't want to do anything to really push them further away, but I do need to find out, because I still have to take care of myself and my son, and I'm 73, and he's 45 with a disability.
Right.
So it ain't like I got a whole lot of money to throw out the window, you know, and the insurance policy was like $100,000. It took 50 apiece, and they never said, oh, well, here, this or that, you know. So I'm saying, well, you know, I got to recoup some kind of way here.
Yeah.
So.
All right, May.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
I appreciate you.
All right.
Bye.
Let's go to James in Savannah, Georgia. Hey, James.
Good morning, sir. A question for you about my will. Right now, it goes to the estate goes to my brother and sister, whom I assume will predecease me. There are some, I have no friends, no wife, no nothing like that. Mm-hmm. So it would go to, if it goes to family, it would be among nieces and nephews, most of whom are a bunch of meatheads. I'm wondering, is there a way to structure this so if I pick out a couple who are actually competent,
mm-hmm.
that it won't be challenged by the others if there's actually an estate left?
Okay, first of all, you're a Georgia resident?
Yes, sir.
All right, so I'm licensed in Florida, not Georgia, so I'm going to give you an answer that reflects Florida law, probably pretty similar to Georgia, but I couldn't pretend I'm practicing law in Georgia to help you know all the exact laws in Georgia. All right, so first of all, if it was a Florida question, no one's entitled to receive your estate. So no one could file a lawsuit and say I'm entitled to something, because they wouldn't be entitled. So you
okay.
You can pick and choose who you want to leave your estate to. You could leave it all to, you know, the Salvation Army if you wanted to. You could pick a charity, your church. You could pick... nobody's entitled to anything. So you certainly can pick, you can discard the meatheads and leave everything to the ones that you want to leave it to, and the meatheads wouldn't have a chance, I don't think, particularly in Florida, to file a claim and say they were entitled to anything. They just wouldn't be.
Okay, so it's a non-issue is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a non-issue, really.
Great.
Now, if you had children you were trying to omit, I would put language in the document in Florida that I've omitted so-and-so for personal reasons, or I've omitted a list of names for personal reasons. If you think if you know people are going to try to contest, you can definitely mention them in the will that you've omitted them and have chosen not to leave them anything. You can put language in a will like that.
Okay, great.
And if you do a trust, if you did a living trust, particularly in Florida, a living trust is harder to contest than it is to file a claim in the probate court with a will.
So, is there a threshold that you cross financially that warrants a trust, or what is the advantage of a trust?
Well, the thing on probate, you do a trust. Most people do a trust. One of the primary reasons most people do a trust is to avoid probate. So the minimum probate fee that we charge is like $2,500, plus there's about $600 or $700 in cost. And if you're a single person, you can do a trust for $695 and avoid the whole probate process. So it's really a substantial savings, even if you have a small estate.
Very good, sir.
All right.
Thank you much.
Thank you. Let's go to Joyce calling from Davenport, okay?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I came home yesterday with a pamphlet on my door, and it says U.S. Census Bureau. And I'm concerned because the pamphlet says health insurance, health care, disability, and well-being. And I don't need any of that. I have health insurance. I'm not disabled. And on the back of the slip that he put on my door also says the U.S. Census Bureau, the national census taker, will be gathering information like population, housing, agriculture, government, manufacture, mineral industries, retail, trade, wholesale trade, transportation, construction.
Mm-hmm.
My question is this fraud or is this something that they do here in Florida?
That was stuck on your door?
Yes. And his name was on it and his phone number, and I called him last night. So I said, can we do it over the phone? He says it takes about an hour. No, I want to come to your house. So I made an appointment for Monday at 9 o'clock. And on his card, it says he's a field representative.
Well, you know, I've never experienced one of these people. Usually you can just fill out a you can fill out a document and mail it. And I've never heard, and I could be just not know, I've never heard of an individual coming to your home before. So I don't know, maybe other people listening have experienced the same thing and can call and let us know how it went.
Would it be a good idea to take it to the police station and show it to them, if it's a fraud?
Or bring it to your attorney and let your attorney look at it.
Uh-huh. Well, I can't do that because he's going to come here Monday at 9 o'clock.
Do you think you were calling an office when you called, or were you calling a cell phone?
It was an 863 number, and he answered.
And did they have a local office, do you know? Is there an address on the paperwork shown in a local office?
No. United States Census Bureau, Atlanta Region.
United States what now?
Census Bureau,
Census
Atlanta
Bureau.
Region, 1-800-424-6974.
I would call, if I were you, I would call and tell them you need to reschedule the meeting. And then look to it a little bit further.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, if you have any other advice out there, listeners, you want to help me out, has anyone ever experienced a home visit from the Census Bureau? Let me know. I'd like to know that. I see Census Bureau information just mailed, and you mail it back in. I've never actually heard of can you imagine the staff they would need to individually interview people? So the question would be, do they have a handful of people who is a smaller portion of the percentage they go visit you in your home? I can't imagine that's true, though. But, you know, maybe you've experienced it, and maybe you can help our listener there with more information. I'd be glad to talk to you. I'd like to give you some airtime. Let's go to John in Riverview. Hey, John.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, too, sir. I've got a question about a will. I made out a will with LegalZoom 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years later, I have one son, two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, my son dies, and he has two girls.
Mm-hmm.
Then 3 years ago, my house burns down, and I lose everything.
No, I'm very sorry.
Oh, thank you. But everything worked out good except for all the stuff that I lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the insurance company came through, no problem. But anyways, when I sent off for a copy of the new will and all, one of my daughters talked me into taking my son's two daughters off of the will. And my question basically is, when's the next time you're going to be in Ruskin's office and I can come in there, and can we add them back on to it.
Sure. I'm in my Sun City Center office, usually on Wednesdays, and I know I'll be there this coming Wednesday.
Okay. What time you usually get there?
Can you call my office first thing Monday morning, and the young lady that answers the phone just get you on my calendar? I'm sitting here in a radio station without access to my calendar.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's fine, man.
All right.
Let me go get a pen and a paper.
Well, just keep listening. I'll give out the phone number here shortly.
To your office in Sun City?
Yes, sir. I'll talk to Mark, and you go get your paper. And when I finish with Mark, I'll give out all my contact information.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye.
Let's go to Mark calling in Tampa.
Good morning.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, sir. My wife and I have a question regarding a situation with my mother-in-law. She's currently in an ALF, and we're trying to dispose of her house without affecting her Medicaid and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
The situation is she set the house up with a ladybird deed.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to do that without affecting her Medicaid at this point?
Well, homestead is a non-countable asset as far as Medicaid goes.
Okay.
So if you sell the house, then the proceeds from the sale become countable. And then you have to transfer those into a personal service contract or some other non-countable asset.
Okay.
But the house as it sits there is a non-countable asset, so you don't really need to sell it. I mean, it's non-countable. And if the ladybird deed includes her children as beneficiaries, that would happen upon death. But, you know, she did a ladybird deed, she can sell the house, or her power of attorney perhaps can sell the house for her benefit. You just have to plan on what we're going to do with the proceeds, which become countable when the homestead wasn't. So it becomes a question of whether or not that's a good option to sell the house now.
Okay. Say we do sell the house, and then the proceeds count for her. We would have to set that aside as using that money for her care at this point?
Yeah, that would be a personal service contract.
Okay.
And then how much you can fund that with depends on her age and how much time per week her power of attorney is going to spend for her care. There's a calculation formula to figure out how much you can put in a personal service contract.
Okay. So once the proceeds of the house are put in a personal service contract, would that affect the Medicaid?
No, because then the assets, if you can get all the assets from the sale of the house in a personal service contract, then that's a non-countable asset at that point.
That's non-countable. Okay.
Mark, I have a full-time Medicaid attorney on staff that does this every day and could be glad if you want to call and talk to him. I'll give you my contact information here in a minute, as I promised the previous caller, and you can call and ask to speak to him.
Okay.
And he can guide you through all this, all through the process.
Well, thank you very much. Your show is very informative.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. So if you'd like to contact our office, like the last two callers, we have a toll-free number, first of all, 1-8, and we have 20 office locations around Florida. My primary offices that I visit are in Pinellas and Hillsborough and in Polk County. Those are the three that I visit. But we do have offices around the state of Florida, Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages, Jacksonville, Palm Coast, Trinity, Manatee, Lakewood Ranch area. If you'd like to contact our office, toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200. Young lady that answers the phone there can get you pointed into the person that can help you based on what you need. So if you wanted to call in just Hillsborough and Pinellas, we have a 727 number, which is 586-3306, same extension 200. If you'd like to email me, you could go to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me, if you like, at 727-667-3967. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call the show, you can call 877-943-9673. We're here for about 10 more minutes answering your legal questions on the radio, and also watching, if you're watching on WeBeam TV or Facebook Live, if you want to call the show, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Chris in Palm Harbor. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, and you?
Great, great. My question is, I have a person that's living in my home. She's an ex-girlfriend, and she refuses to leave. I filed for an unlawful detainer, and I still need to contact the judge to set up a date. But in the interim, she's being just very hostile and very difficult, and I'm not moving out for 2 months. And her thing is, I'm calling the cops on you. I'm going to call the cops. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make this as smooth as possible for her to move on. She doesn't have a lease. She doesn't pay anything. It's just she's being very difficult, and every time that I bring up the subject of her moving on, it becomes an attack.
Yeah, well, you got to set the hearing and get an order to get her out of there.
What's the timeline for that? Because she's looking at 2 months, and every time, like, I'm having my kids are coming back from college next week, and she said she was going to go and stay somewhere else, but then it's like, no, I'm not leaving, I'm not doing anything, nothing you can do, and I'm going to be here for the next 2 months. And
Chris, my guess is she's never going to leave unless you get a court order. I mean, that's just from what I'm hearing. That's what I would guess. She's going to always put it off. She never really plans on leaving. And I'm just guessing.
I have the same feeling. And this has been going on since March. So, I mean, this is not like that.
So go get set the hearing. That'll put pressure on her to leave. And
what is the timeline?
I know you have to. Yeah, the court's calendar is always going to be a little bit different. So you just need to call the. If you have a judge or you file, you just call the courthouse, tell them, have you already filed papers? You just haven't set the hearing?
Yeah,
the court, papers, right? The clerk that answers the phone will be able to tell you or point you to the judge's JA assistant that would know his calendar. So you should be able to just call the courthouse and get a date scheduled.
Okay, and in the interim, what do I do? I mean, as far as like, you know, every day is a bad. She's an alcoholic, and so every night she gets like really drunk, and then gets really hostile. And I leave because her big thing is I'm calling the cops, and it's just like an ongoing threat against me.
It's a horrible way to live. So get that hearing set as soon as you can.
Okay.
She'll be, and then we have to figure out how to serve her paper so she's aware of it.
Okay. Well, I mean, she's already been served the original papers. For the hearing, it's just whenever the hearing.
Yeah, the court will send out a hearing notice.
Okay, and as far as all of her stuff, because she like controls, you know, I mean, she has her furniture in here. She controls the closet. Says, you know, you touch my stuff, and I'm calling the cops. And so I'm kind of a captive in my own home. Can I like take her stuff and box it up? Can I?
Once you get the court order, you'll be able to help her get it out of there. Hopefully, okay. She doesn't have a job, I take it.
No, she does have a job. She has 2 DUIs, so she has to Uber back and forth. And I used to be her, you know, chauffeur to take her, you know, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But and she spends, half of the time out of the house. But it's
Get the hearing date, she's going to be more interested in finding a place to live, I'm sure, because she knows she'll know what's coming.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Chris. Well, good luck to you.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you. All right. Let's go to Tim in Tampa.
Hey, good morning. I come on your show midterm on the Census Bureau question.
Okay, great.
But you have an office on North Howard, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you guys did my trust here a little while ago. It was a smooth.
Yeah, Dennis
experience.
Moses.
Thank you. Yep, Dennis.
Yeah,
yep.
Great.
They sent me the census letter, you know, during that period, and I never filled it out because I always feel it's an invasion of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had this same girl kept, she just started coming to my house to, you know, on a consistent basis, and I would ignore it in the beginning, but finally I went out and I did the darn thing, and that's
so
why
she came to your
my
home?
House.
She came to your home?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Really? All right, so she was legit. So you didn't have a previous caller that called about that. Maybe she did get a legit letter for a home visit.
Yeah, well, if it was, Well, I didn't get a letter about a home visit, I don't believe. All I got was the original letter from the census.
Did somebody come knocking on your door?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's what happened to her. Somebody came knocking on her door. So.
And that was during the Census Bureau time frame. It wasn't like at an off time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that up there for you.
All right. Well, good. Well, maybe that'll help her decide what to do. Maybe it is legit. So.
All righty.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's go to Wilma.
Hello.
Hey, Wilma.
I just wanted to say, I get those census things like once a year, a packet in the mail. Well, it comes in the mail, and mine always
come in the mail. I've never had anybody knock on
the door. Then you mail it in, and that's it. You're done with it. But I don't know. I just heard the guy on the radio just now.
I think if you ignore them and don't mail it, they...
The guy knows that this lady is a widow, and he wants to come in and kind of look around and see what he can maybe deal.
Yeah, that would be a little scary.
I don't know. It's,
I think if I were in that position, I would offer to go to his office or their office.
Or have someone there when he comes.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I mean, you never know who.
Well, that's
is.
A good idea. That would be a good idea for her to have a friend there if he comes.
Witness there when he comes. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, getting lots of census comments here, which is good. Let's go to April calling in Sarasota.
Hi, Joe. I remember about 45 years ago, somebody did come to our home, so it was many, many years ago. And I agree with Wilma. I think it was Wilma who was just on there. I wouldn't just have a friend. I would have a man there with her, just in case.
All right. All right,
okay.
So let me see. Let me figure out what her name was. All right. Joyce, if you're still listening, have a man there.
have a man there during
the interview.
So just for safety.
Yeah, a strong man, too, would be good.
That's always good.
A strong young man. All right. All right.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Let's go to Mary calling.
Hello.
Hey, Mary.
My husband passed away on May 8th. His car was in his name only. We don't really have an estate per se. The house went to me with right of survivorship.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have any other assets.
Mm-hmm.
If creditors are looking at any kind of estate, is that car considered part of anything, an asset?
Well, you should be able to go to DMV with a death certificate.
Okay.
And the title, and they'll transfer the car to you.
Okay, even if he hadn't signed that title?
Correct.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, is there money owed on the car?
Oh, no, it's paid.
All right, so you have the title. So a spouse can usually go to DMV with the death certificate, with the car title, and they'll change the car to you as a spouse. That's a spousal right that you have, is to have the car.
Okay, let me ask you another question. If those tags expire in about a year and a half, can I wait? Or should I, if I go there, am I going to have to get new tags?
No, I think they will transfer it to you, and then you get new tags on your next birthday. I think that's how it works.
Much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Paul from Seminole.
Good morning.
Paul, we may have less than a minute here, so make it quick, I guess.
Okay. Just have an abusive situation from a major company and backed me into a corner, and I don't know what to do about it, but I'd like to call you at your office, and maybe we can discuss it further.
All right. And my office there in Largo is at 586.
Okay.
3306. You can just go to extension 200.
Extension 200.
Yes, sir. You're breaking up there. Hope you got that. I think you did. So we'll talk to you on the phone. All right. All right. So let me close the show by giving you all of our contact information. If you would like to contact our office, make an appointment, or just have a question for me to get back to you on, the toll-free number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you'd like to email me a question or a comment, or even request for an appointment, you could do that at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. If you want to text me, text number 727-667-3967. Thank you so much for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Be back next week, the same time, for you to have a shot at getting something resolved, asking legal questions, or in any way I can help you, I'd be glad to. You have a great, great weekend. So long.